Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We've been talking about the basics of minding your money here on the show over the last couple of weeks with the CEO at Fairstone Ireland, Paul Merriman, and a personal finance expert, Ask Paul. You're very welcome back to the programme. 087 1400 106 is the number if you're just joining us and you want to listen about savings, investments, pensions. All of those podcasts are on the Go Loud app. You can subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. We're talking today, though, about inheritance tax, Paul.
Yes, we are indeed. I'm going to say it's up there. I think it's the worst tax. I don't particularly like any taxes. I think revenue coming after the estate is very harsh. I think a lot of that money that you would have established over your life has been income taxed, probably seeing capital gains tax on it. You know, you pay a lot of tax on your life, and I think coming after estate is appalling. I genuinely do, and it's quite large. You know, it's 33%. There's definitely this thresholds we go through now. The thresholds do help, but I think they haven't increased. They were obviously much higher before the financial crash. They were brought back. They've increased slightly, but nowhere near the levels. And if you look at even just a family home, for argument's sake, you know, for children can get up to €400,000 Group A threshold. Your kind of parents or your siblings or your nieces and nephews can get €40,000 before they fall into the taxable thresholds. And then you have €20,000 for anyone outside. So that's a stranger or anybody. So if you look at a family home, especially in any of the major cities, let's just take Dublin for argument's sake. If you have one child, they're going to get hit with a tax bill more than likely because the most properties are valued above the 400,000.
The reality of this now is that, you know, it's majority of the people living anywhere in Dublin, doesn't matter what air code you're in, is now going to be hit with this. And I know that the whole benefit, I suppose, for many supporters of inheritance tax is that it'll promote economic equality and that you'll reduce kind of that wealth concentration maybe across generations for decades. Yes. But now you've got 90% of people in most air codes paying this.
I think the problem with that statement is that last week, or that feeling is last week, we discussed pensions and how pensions are still taxable and when you draw them down when you get to retirement age. So this idea of wealth growing in a tax-free manner doesn't really work in Ireland. The only tax-free growth you get is in your pension while you're funding your pension. And then after the pension, it's taxed when you draw it down from an income tax point of view. And everything else, if you look at even door tax and deposits, you look at, capital gains tax, all these taxes are there right the way through. You're building your wealth phase anyway to put back into society. So I think trying to do it on death, like I said, I don't agree with that. But look, going back into the examples here, the thresholds, the problem is if you have a child, one child, you know, if you do pass away and you have a family home, you're more likely going to see a tax because the kind of threshold is 400,000. Anything above that is taxed at 23%. So if you have a house worth 500,000 and the threshold is 400, you want to pay 33,000 over the revenue commissioners or the estate is. And the big thing that people don't realise here is that, you know, it's great in today's marketplace because a property is very easy to shift, I suppose, because we have a massive supply and demand issue. But, you know, years ago, we see people having to borrow because they couldn't sell family homes to pay the inheritance tax bill. And revenue put on interest and put on penalties if the bill isn't cleared quickly enough as well. So it's very penal for the estate being left behind. And the main message for today is you can plan what to do with inheritance tax. And there's two types of people, Andrea, and I see this every time with clients. One person will say, you know, sure, I don't care. I'm going to be dead and the kids are getting enough. Let them pay the tax.
Yeah, well, I'd say people will say, I mean, like if they are getting the €400,000 house, they're inheriting a lot more than they would have had.
Or more. And then there's other clients that I come across that would say, absolutely not. I've worked too hard to build my estate for my family and I don't want to leak it to the revenue commissioners. So those clients will put in various different measures, various different measures to make sure they can pass it on to the children in a more efficient manner. And that's really important. And
to be able to do that, Paul?
There's loads of ways you can transfer assets to the children while you're still alive. You can use the small gift exemption, is 3,000 a year to anyone. So if you have a number of children, you have in-laws as well. If you have grandchildren, you can start giving €3,000 per year to everyone. It's called a small gifts exemption. You have to be careful in that though, because it drains cash flow and it can do it quite quickly. You can also put in what's called a Section 72 life assurance policy, called a whole life policy. That means when you pass away, the life assurance money will be paid out, but it doesn't form part of the estate because it's under what's called the Section 72 Act. So that's a really clever way for people to fund to pay the tax bill. So the parents will typically put it in place. It's on a joint life second basis. So say it was myself and my wife Sarah, and we have got one. So if I was to die first, nothing happens because Sarah gets the estate. And then when Sarah passes away, it gets down to her four children. And that's when the Section 72 policy will pay out and will help the kids either pay the inheritance tax or reduce the inheritance tax liability. But I'd say to anybody that's in this situation is to make sure you're getting advice as soon as possible. And unfortunately, it's a very difficult conversation, especially for adult children to talk to about their parents, because they're kind of keeping one eye on what's going to happen.
It's a controversial topic to bring up anyway, 100%. At the best of times. But yeah. What child wants to bring this up with their parent?
We would house, I suppose, in our boardroom, we've had families in where you'd have parents kind of bringing this conversation up and then trying to bring the children and let them understand what's going to happen to the estate when they pass away and who gets what, but also what happens from a tax selling point of view. And then you would have it where you see children coming in, especially where they have family businesses, where there's maybe a lot of assets and a lot of cash also outside of, say, the family home or the personal assets. So it gets quite heavy, the tax liability then. Now, there are various revenue rules that help people here, so you don't need to panic over the family home, for argument's sake. There's a principal private dwelling relief if you're living in the house, or you're kind of most kids under 18, or maybe even 30 these years are probably still living at home, and they stay in the house after death as well for a certain period of time. They get an exemption on the family home. You'll see business relief as well come in. So if you are in the family, the revenue will write down the value of the business by about 90%. For tax planning purposes, for tax calculation purposes. So there's numbers of reliefs out there to help people. It's just all too often that people don't know about them until it's too late, as in when something's happened, when someone's passed away and they're left with the inheritance tax issue. And it's one that catches a lot of people off guard.
So this is why, and you know you made this point last week as well, Paul, this is why it's important to, you know, if you are in this position and you're maybe looking at gifting or the inheritance tax issues for your children, that you meet with some kind of guidance or financial advisor, talk to someone about it.
You need the financial plan, and if there is business assets and there are a large estate, you usually bring in tax planning alongside it. But it's so important to sit down and think about it. Or else, like I said, if you're one of those people listening today and you don't care, you're going to say the kids can just pay it. But they're getting enough as it is.
It's your money. It's your money. Hard enough.
You 100%. I think you should spend it as much as you possibly can. And this is where financial planning really comes into play. I've mentioned this a few times over the last few weeks. Sometimes financial planning, especially with clients we find over 60, 65 years of age, they've spent 40 years saving, or if not longer, saving their money. They also remember a different order than what I know, and that they had nothing at one stage or came for very little. So they've grown into this kind of massive saving habits for decades, and it's very hard to get themselves out of the saving habit and to spend their money. So a financial plan is supposed to be there to teach people how they can actually spend their money and making sure that everything's going to be okay when they get to 80 or 90 years of age, what's going to be left and how it doesn't all leak to the revenue. So either spend it or give it in a way that's appropriate to get away from the revenue commissioners.
The listener questions, as you can probably imagine, Paul, are starting to filter through. It's 087 1400 106 is the number. Just before we go to them, so you can gift your children after your day €400,000 before they have to pay tax on it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and 3,000 per year. So that 400,000 is lifetime. So if you got a gift off your parents, say for a deposit for a house of €40,000, that comes off the 400,000 when they pass away. So capital acquisition.
How do they know that?
It's self declaration.
Right.
And the revenue request that if you're getting 80% of your threshold or up over 80% of your threshold, that you make the declaration then as well.
And what if you got a wedding present or something as well?
Well, presents are different. Technically speaking, they're under gifts still. So you have that €3,000 small gifts exemption. So if you're looking at getting a gift, parents could give the bride or the spouses 6,000, 3,000 each. And that gets them out of that. So that's the gift, if you like, from the parents. You can also do that per year. So you could do it, say, if you're going to someone's getting married next year, you give them maybe 12,000 this year as a couple and 12,000 next year as a couple.
So that's for the children. It's 40,000 for your, if you have any nieces or nephews that you love dearly.
40,000 for nieces, yes. And then €20 for anyone outside that. Now, it's a really important revenue, and I think you're going to see a big budget change this year. I really think this is going to come in. They're looking at extending there's massive pressure on the government for people that have no children, because they're saying we're getting absolutely hammered here because we have built up estates, we've built up property. And because we have no children, our estate's getting taxed, and that 40,000 is the only threshold, and everything above the 40,000. So there's a massive disadvantage. So I think what they're going to do with the budget this year is extend the favourite niece or nephew. So there's a rule called the favourite niece or nephew.
Favourite niece or nephew.
For businesses. So if you're a business owner and your children aren't in the business, but your favourite niece or nephew are in it and operating it and have the qualifications, they can take over the business and they reduce the value down from by 90%.
Okay.
I think they're going to extend that to the principal private residence of people that have no children, at least. I think that's the minimum they should do, and I'm hoping that's the minimum they will do in the budget this year.
Right. Please ask Paul if an inherited house then becomes an asset that you'd be taxed on if you decided to sell it, as it may not be your primary residence.
So first of all, there's two separate transactions here. One is the inheritance of the house. So if the house is coming and it falls outside the thresholds, there'll be 33% to be paid in it. If it's not your principal private residence and you're going to rent that property, you're just going to pay rental income tax on the rental income coming in. And if you sell it in the future, the difference between the value inherited at and the value you sell in the future will be another CGT, which is the same rate of 33%. So there's two separate things, I think, in that question. One is the inheritance itself, and then what happens to it once you get rid of the property if it's not your principal private residence.
Listeners, as I was given some prize bonds, not worth a lot of money, by grandparents, but they're under their name and I can't transfer them or cash them in. Does this mean that they're just going to go by the waste, as they were of small value? They were not in any will, though. They weren't included in any will.
So really what should have happened there is they should have went through if there was no will, it looks like they'd been missed by the solicitors, because if
they weren't included in the will, they must have been handed over to the person previously.
Yeah, so you'd have to, if there's any kind of record, right, you'd be heading back towards state savings to be able to have a chat with them how you transfer them over, especially if they were transferred. If it was in the will, or if it indeed went towards grant of probate, they would have been transferred under the legal entity from a grant of probate point of view. So I'm not sure if they just were completely missed. But technically speaking, if they're not in your name, they're no value to you whatsoever. And they can't even be declared to revenue because they're not in your name.
Yeah. Price bonds were a big thing years ago, weren't they?
They're a big thing years ago, and they should be avoided at all costs, in my opinion.
Right. We'll
go back next week.
If a daughter inherits the family home, do they have to live there for several years before they can sell it?
Yes, they do. So that's what I'm saying. It's the principal private residence relief. They also can't have an interest in any other property. So if your daughter has a property somewhere that they were even with, say, an ex, seen this before, where someone had a property with an ex, they left the house, it was still in joint names, moved back with mom and dad passed away, they don't qualify because they have an interest in another property in that case.
They could inherit it if it was up to the 400,000.
They could inherit it, but if they won't get the principal private dwelling relief. So if you have the principal private dwelling relief where you live in the house before and after the death, there's no tax at all. There's no 400,000, there's no tax you pay, regardless of the value of the property.
But you can't have another house yourself.
But
this
you can't have a family home
or something.
Exactly, yeah. So if that person had another family home somewhere, they won't get the principal private dwelling relief, and therefore they'd be back to the €400,000, and anything above that would be taxed at 33%.
Here's a lovely parent here getting in touch, Paul, wondering, if I pay for my daughter's wedding, will that count against her inheritance tax down the line?
It will actually come off the threshold, yes. So again, be careful of that, technically speaking, you'll be using a small gift exemption where you can to your daughter and her partner, and you can try and do that as soon as possible.
So that means that person, assuming that's the mum, said, they can give 3,000 to the daughter
and 3,000
this year,
to the spouse. Yeah,
so this
year, and next
year
is €12,000. Now, to be fair, a lot of people pay it, and there is like revenue on a case by case basis when it comes to another point of view. Some of these life events, like you talk about, even people like kids still living at home past 21, 22 years of age and still getting funded by parents, they're still in within that small gift exemption. Technically, revenue come back in order, and any of those transfers to kids are due to be in outside that 3,000 per year will be reduced off the 400. It's a lifetime gift and inheritance limit.
There's another listener again about this 3,000 euro. Do you have to keep a record of that, or how does that?
Technically speaking, you should do it by bank transfer, and if you were sending it, you should be putting gift beside it. That's what I do. I wouldn't be just paying it through and not having a record, because you know, in years to come, you're looking back in bank statements, you might remember, especially if there's multiple transactions to one person. You should make a note of it. You don't have to declare it to revenue, though. You only need to declare it if it's up to 80% of the actual threshold. So if somebody was getting up to 80% of the €400,000, in that case then you'd have to be able to declare it. So if you're giving your child over €320,000, they need to make the declaration to revenue today to let the revenue know that they've received 80% of their standard fund of their threshold. That's what has to happen once you're gifting that type of money. So what I can say here, if people are wealthy enough, you should really consider trying to give as much, if not all, the 400,000 over their children as soon as possible, because the money grows in their names then over the next whatever. So say if someone in their 50s was exceptionally wealthy, they could give the 400,000 each now rather than wait until they pass away, for example, at 90 years of age, because all of the growth in the 400,000 is actually gone to the child. That can be in trust for the child or given to them over 18. So there is really strategic ways of driving down the liability of the estate. But again, you have to obviously have the cash and the whereabouts to do it.
Please ask whether inheritance tax applies to trusts. If a parent sets up a trust and names their child as beneficiary of the trust, will the inheritance tax rules apply here?
No, but really, really important there. It depends on what you put into the trust. So I'd have a lot of clients that will put in the 3,000 euro to the trust because a small gift's exemption and it doesn't apply. And both parents can do that. So you can set up a trust for your child, put 3,000 for each parent, which is 6,000 a year. And when you pass away, when the trust comes to 18 years of age or whenever the child gets the trust, there's no inheritance or gift tax on it because you use a small gift exemption to fund it all the way. It's a really clever way of getting the money out of the estate without impacting the 400,000 threshold. But yeah, back to the question itself. If you put the money into the estate, say you have a trust and you put 400,000 into the trust today, well, that's you've given it to the child, even though it's in the trust. So the 400,000 is being used up.
We're going to have to come back and talk about trusts another day. Quite a few people getting in contact about these 3,000 euro payments each year. Just shows you, I suppose, some of the cash flow, you know, that is out there in the economy.
Well, there's 180 billion, they say, sitting in overnight deposits, earning practically zero.
Oh my God,
so if you have some of that, you might be able to put it in.
Paul Merriman, CEO at Fairstone Ireland, a personal finance expert, of course. Ask Paul. Paul, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.